We're going to get started now, thanks. Welcome to the tobacco plenary of the World Lung Conference. And we're very excited today to have with us two people who have been very closely involved in the implementation of smoke-free policies in different parts of the world. I'm going to first introduce my co-chair, Dr. Bakshi from Chandigarh in India, who will then open the presentation of Dr. Mauricio Hernandez from Mexico. So Dr. Bakshi is a state nodal officer for the National Tobacco Control Program in Chandigarh in India. He did his MBBS from Madras University and has been working with the State Medical Service in the Department of Emergency and Trauma Medicine at the Governmental Multi-Speciality Hospital at first, and then for about the last 20 years, and is now heading the same department. Chandigarh has actually a very special status in India. It was the first city to be declared smoke-free in July 2007, last year. And it's really a very unique achievement. It has been achieved really through the engagement of civil society and through the high-level leadership of Dr. Bakshi, and really on very minimal resources so far. And now, as the rest of India catches the trend and begins to implement the new smoke-free rules that came into force on October the 2nd, it's a very important model for looking at the successes and the strategic barriers to implementing successful smoke-free policies across India. So with that short introduction, I'll hand you over to Dr. Bakshi.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this plenary session, and thank you, Dr. Sennett, for the introduction. It gives me great pleasure to welcome you all to this plenary session where the Honorable Vice Minister of Diseases Prevention and Health Promotion of Mexico, Dr. Mauricio Hernandez Avila, would address us on the topic, From Red to Green Nonstop, the Mexico's Switch Towards a Successful Tobacco Control Policy. The topic was earlier listed to be presented by the Honorable Minister for Health of Mexico, Dr. Jose Angel Cordova Villalobos, who somehow or other could not make it to this session at the last moment. I'm also honored to have Dr. Sinead Jones, Director of the Tobacco Control Program of the Union, as the co-chairperson. Dr. Sinead is a well-known name in the field of tobacco control. She is a public health scientist educated at the Queen's University, Belfast, and Harvard. She has worked at the WHO, the British Medical Association, and the International Union Against Cancer. Then she joined the Union Against Tuberculosis and Lung Health in 2007, where she now heads the Tobacco Control Division and manages the Union part and the Bloomberg Initiative. We are honored to have you, sir, with us. Dr. Mauricio got his medical degree from the National Autonomous University of Mexico in 1980. He did his residency in pathology at the Salvador Zubiron National Institute of Health Services and Nutrition in 1982. He did his applied statistics at the Applied Maths and Systems Research Institute in 1994 and also got his master's in 1984. He did his doctoral in 1988 in the Science in Epidemiology from the Harvard School of Public Health. Dr. Mauricio started his career at the Mexican Ministry of Health as an attending physician in the Department of Community Nutrition at the INNSZ in 1981. During this period, he was invited to serve as an epidemiologist in the Department of Medicine at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, Massachusetts, in 1987 and 88. After his post-graduation, he was appointed Director of Center for Epidemiological Surveillance of Chronic Illnesses and Accidents at the Mexican Ministry of Health in 1988. In 1991, he was appointed the Director of the Center for Public Health Research at the National Institute of Public Health, and in 2004, he became its Executive Director. In December 2006, the President of Mexico appointed him as Mexico's Vice Minister of Diseases Prevention and Health Promotion. Dr. Mauricio is a researcher of national and international repute. He has authored 215 published scientific articles, authored 6 books and 45 book chapters. He has also attended over 186 national and international scientific events and is a member of many associations. As a director of the Center for Public Health, he achieved important results and undertook a broad initiative to improve training in public health and other academic programs, which then led it to become the first member of the Association of Schools of Public Health from outside the United States. In 1996, he received the Mignal Aliman Award for the Young Scientists in the area of health and has been distinguished as a Level 3 National Researcher of the National Researcher System, which incidentally is the highest level. In 2005, he received the Alumni Merit Award from the Harvard School of Public Health. He has been a member of Mexican National Researcher System since 1990 and of the National Association of Medicine since 1993. He also sits on the Committee of Biomedical Sciences of National Advisory Board of Science and Technology. He has researched in 3 fields, environmental health, cancer epidemiology, and evaluation of national public programs and public health policies. He coordinates an internal group in charge of evaluation of programs such as Seguro Popular and Oportunidades. These programs are the principal poverty reduction strategies implemented by the Mexican government, and they benefit over 5 million families. The group's work generated important information for decision makers and for the improvement of these programs. As we all know, Mexico was the first country in Latin America to ratify the WHO FCTC in 2004, which brought about the general law for tobacco control. This was an important milestone in the Mexican health policy. The law was passed in February 2008 and came into effect on the August 28, 2008 at national level, and is now expected to have a notable effect on containing the smoking epidemic in the country. Regulation is expected to be ready by the end of November. The same day that the federal legislation was approved, Mexico City also passed the Non-Smokers Protection Law that establishes 100% smoke-free environments. The regulation was approved, and there is a great acceptance and compliance not only between non-smokers but smokers as well. The Health Secretary strongly supported this legislation. The 2 laws strengthen the Mexican tobacco control program and will also be an effective intervention to protect the Mexican people from such harmful exposure. The Health Secretary is working together with international experts and the civil society in preparing a secretarial agreement on packaging and labeling under the General Law for Tobacco Control by establishing a normative standard for tobacco package labeling, including the health warnings with pictograms according to the 11th article of FCTC. Creation and launch of National Office of Tobacco Control under the authority of the Health Secretary on August 28th, with the aim of strengthening the capacity of federal government to build and apply public policies recommended by the FCTC in a permanent and effective manner. Let me now invite on the Honorable Dr. Mauricio to take the dais with just a quotation from Ms. Margaret Mead, who said that, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has." So all we need to do is persevere and believe me, we would have a smoke-free world soon to hand over to our next generation. I am a compulsive optimist, and believe me, I have never seen a monument erected to a pessimist. Dr. Mauricio, please.
Thank you very much, Dr. Bashir, for that presentation. Thank you very much. And I want to thank the organizers of the conference for giving me this opportunity to present what we are doing in Mexico and how we are moving around to battle this important public health problem. The title of the conference, From Red to Green Nonstop, really reflects that. We were in a stop policy for tobacco control, and now we are totally green and moving forward. We know that tobacco killed 100 million people worldwide in the 20th century, and unless we take urgent actions by 2030, it will kill more than 8 million people. And tobacco will kill 1 billion during the 21st century if we don't take actions. What's the situation in Mexico? It's estimated that tobacco kills prematurely over 25,000 people each year. Over the last 20, 30 years, the Mexican government has implemented different measures to prevent young people from start smoking, to protect children and non-smokers from secondhand, and to help smokers to quit. However, we haven't seen much change in the last 30 years, and much needs still to be done. Our last addiction survey in 2002 showed that there were 16.3 million active smokers in Mexico, that the prevalence was 42% for males and 15% for females. Young people are smoking more frequently and at earlier ages, and this is especially among young girls, in which the prevalence rate is equal to the one seen in young boys. Our legislation was weak, and basically we had no enforcement to protect non-smoker, and prevention activities were largely underfunded. The tobacco industry is very strong in Mexico. 98% of the market is controlled only by two companies, BAT and Philip Morris Altria, with Mr. Slim, who is one of the richest men in the world, who happens to be Mexican, and I will address later on. The market value for the market is $3.6 billion in 2004. It's a very powerful, highly influential, and it's an industry that is constantly violating agreements and regulations, as we will show. Tobacco money is complicated because it's mixed with the Mexican telephone company, which is also a monopoly. And tobacco companies are investing large amounts of money to clear the public image. And legislators have been openly accused to taking tobacco money. Just to show you an example of how the tobacco companies have penetrated the Minister of Health, in the last administration there was an agreement signed with the two largest tobacco companies, the British American Tobacco Mexico and Philip Morris Mexico, in order to contribute to the health sector. The agreement included minor restrictions on the size of billboards, restriction on the surface areas for the pack for health warnings, specific exclusions of graphic health warnings, the pictograms, and disclosure of ingredients, always respecting the industrial secrets and confidential information. And in return for this agreement, the industry agreed to contribute 1 peso, which is almost 10 cents of US dollar at the time, per pack sold to be contributed to the health reform, not directly linked to disease caused by tobacco and almost impossible to be used for prevention. The agreement, it violated the Frame Convention, was canceled by Dr. Cordova, the new minister, in 2006. We face difficult problems in Mexico because of the influence of the tobacco company. This is an excerpt taken from the WHO bulletin, which praises Mr. Slim as one of the telecommunications magnates from the world, and he's also owns the tobacco companies in Mexico, and he is creating a foundation to help health in Latin America to fund health-related projects. He also provides funding to the Ministry of Health. What's happening in Mexico? Well, restaurants will require to reserve, for example, 30% of space for non-smoking, so it was basically everybody was exposed to tobacco smoke. Restaurants and bars were closed space were not smoke-free, and owners seek legal protection against anti-tobacco law. Young children, including babies, were allowed into smoking areas. We didn't have strong support from legislators. Actually, these are two legislators smoking in the chamber where it supposedly is forbidden. And tobacco was very, very active. The panorama in Mexico by the internal tobacco controls was described as it says. Mexico is a huge market where the smoking incidence is high and socially health-related concerns are almost non-existent. I have been told, blah, 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 this is the tobacco industry that describes very well the Mexican situation. So in 2005, we received the first Dirty Astri Award because of our violations to the FCTC, Article 0.53. So this is how we started in 2006. So as a resume of the situation in Mexico in 2006, very high social permissives to tobacco, weak tobacco legislation with almost no enforcement, few restrictions for tobacco products, Mexican tobacco industry very powerful and highly influential, Mexican Minister of Health was in friendly terms with the tobacco industry, and we had a failure to pass every attempt of legislation for tobacco control. So what to do? Here comes the commercial for Empower, which is, and we've been doing this over the last 6 years, so we are now really happy to have a conceptual framework. Monitor tobacco, protect people from tobacco smoke, offer help to quit, warn about the dangers of tobacco, enforce bans on tobacco advertising and promoting and sponsorship, and raise taxes on tobacco. In addition to this, we'll say that we need to do an in-depth study of the local political forces. And I will end the conference saying that we also need Empower Vote Forte with an F for funding, and you will see why. Well, let me show you the part of the activities that we have been in doing. It's terribly important, and it's essential to monitor tobacco use prevalence, stress the need of public health actions, to see the impact of policy interventions, and also to monitor the industry marketing and promotion. So in 2000, we started at the National Institute of Public Health, a tobacco research group that has been working since then with the help of different funding organizations and different funding from the Mexican government. We started by building the scientific evidence of local importance. This is very special because it means that the country started getting an ownership for the information, and we switch for a change from what is an international agenda to a national agenda. So we publish several articles, and also in terms of for the public and also for the scientific literature through the journal Salud Pública de México, who is the journal for public health in Mexico. So we have been showing that tobacco consumption in Mexico has been relatively constant, and we have been able to show that our policies that have been implemented in the past were not highly successful. We've seen a small decrease in the number of cigarettes smoked, but they are stationary in 6 or 7 for men and women. We have also been able to address the issue of how many deaths there are in Mexico in relation to tobacco. And we have estimated 70 deaths every day, and according to 25,000 per year. This is a very powerful message in terms of the public health agenda for Mexico. We have also been able to show that different health professionals are not changing or abandoning tobacco use, which is also why we don't have this role modeling for the physicians. We can see here in medical students, men and females smoke more or less the same as the general population, and we'll see that for females it's even higher, and it's the same for odontology students. We have also been tackling the prevalence rates for smoking in children with the GYTS version for Mexico. We have done two rounds now in 2003 and 2006. And this has been one of the most powerful pieces of information, to tell the public that young people are smoking at a higher rate, and we see 19% for 2003, and we saw a remarkable increase to almost 25% for 2006. This has been a remarkable piece of information for lobbying against tobacco, and shows that even in Mexico, tobacco companies are lobbying for the young consumers. We have also been able to demonstrate that young people are initiating every time earlier. We have a decrease from an average years of initiation of 21 years in the cohort of 1930, and has decreased to 13 to the cohort of 1980. And this has also been a powerful piece of information for our work against tobacco, because we also know that early smoking increases by several folds the risk of using other drugs. Advertising of the industry, although industry claims not to do advertising for teenagers, you can see here that in average 16% or 20%, depending on the year, of students report that they do have a promotional object with a cigarette brand in any of the cities examined here, which go all around the country, from the north in Tijuana, which is near the U.S., to the south, which is Chetumal, which is in the border with Belize, or Tapachula, which is in the border with Chiapas. Why is this? Well, we have been also monitoring the industry activities, and here you can see the event sponsoring from the tobacco companies. They're sponsoring rock concerts for young people. To be able to go in, you have to be over 18, but many young people get the advertisement, and as you may imagine, this is not a certified overage attendance. So once you've been there, you get cigarettes for free, and then every time you get at your house, the promotionals for the concerts. How do I know? Well, my son went as a spy, so we know all what they're doing. So, and this is in all the bulletin boards in Mexico and all over the major cities. They also violate the law. Here is how they do it. This is the outside of the secondary school, and there shouldn't be any advertisement for tobacco. And we see there is a big billboard from Marlboro just outside the school. And we have been able to monitor these faults and to report them to the media. And no wonder why this young kid is smoking just after he goes out of school. We have also opened a laboratory that allowed us to do some measurements in environmental nicotine, nicotine in hair, and cotinine in blood, saliva, and urine that help us to monitor the passive smoking, and that has been also very successful in terms of policy data. This is a very simple technology that can be used and placed in any smoking place in order to detect what are the levels. With this, we have been able to show that the cotinine levels in the blood of kids, it correlates very well with the cotinine levels of the parents. So we were able to show that there is a with this biological indicator that there is the parents smoking determines the kids' exposure, which might be not the big news for this audience, but it is big news for audience of the general public. We have been also to estimate what are the costs for tobacco attributable disease in Mexico. We estimate at least $100 U.S. million dollars for disease, myocardial infarction, cerebrovascular disease, pulmonary COPD, and lung cancer. This also became a very useful piece of information when we did the lobbying with the chambers to pass legislation in terms of the cost. How much are we paying for tobacco? And although this is something that is known, that tobacco causes disease, to relate this to a within-country cost estimate is very, very important. We have also been building and strengthening our tobacco control capacity, and we have done courses with the collaboration of the Bloomberg Global Tobacco Institute from 2001 to 2007. These have been regional courses. Now, protect people from tobacco. We have been advancing the idea that there is no safe level for second-hand smoke, and that has been very good. Only complete smoke-free indoor areas with that exception will work. And this is what we are battling right now with our rulings, if we should go to completely smoke-free or not. And we have also shown that smoke-free laws are popular and that worker safety is an important variable. With this data, for example, we show the different levels in the different environments. As you see, schools are almost free of tobacco smoke. Hospitals, not surprisingly, because we saw the estimates of the medical students and also of attending, is at a high level. Government offices, which should be completely smoke-free the last 10 years, are still not smoke-free, almost at the level of airports. Restaurants and bars are very high in exposure. And that also helps us to estimate how many deaths in bars and restaurants could be attributed to secondhand smoke, and also was a good piece of information for the legislation. We show these data, which were very powerful. These are the cotinine levels, urinary cotinine levels of non-smokers just about to enter to a discotheque in Cuernavaca, Mexico. You see most of them are under the non-smoking level, 5.1 nanograms. And then these are the cotinine levels after they left the discotheque. They are almost five times more, 5.1 to 41.5 nanograms. So this also was a very good piece of information, at least locally, to show how bad was the environment of the closed environments where smoking was allowed. After the law has been passed in Mexico City, we are also looking at the different economical impacts, and this is very important data because the entertainment industry will always say that they are going to lose large amounts of money, mainly because tobacco companies have convinced them that to go smoke-free will be bad for business. And here I show you a little bit of the information that we have already collected. This is employment. And we see in the upper line, we see the employment for restaurants, and we see there's no change, basically, after the law was implemented. The prediction of the industry was that we will go down, and it was a bankruptcy of the restaurants. Same it happens with restaurants. In terms of profits, we see, if something, we see an increase in profits for restaurants, and almost the same with no impact for restaurants. So this has been very important information because with this we are supporting to extend the legislation to the whole country. The O for empower offer help to quit tobacco. Nicotine is very addictive. We know that it's one of the most addictive drugs. And healthcare system has a primary responsibility to treat tobacco dependence. In Mexico, we are working to have tobacco dependence treatment as part of the social security, and this will be enacted in 2009, so people will be able to get free care for their dependence. Warn about the dangers of tobacco. We know in Mexico that most people are still unaware of the full range of health risks of tobacco, and anti-tobacco smoking ads will help. We have been working with our pictograms. We're still not yet. This reflects an economical experiment done with children, with young people, to see what was the image for the pictograms who will be the worst. And, well, we identified that the one who speaks about spontaneous abortion has the baby in the bottle has the one who has the, causes the most impact in this population. And we have also published the results for the adults, and the ones we now have identified which are the pictograms of the databases that we have that could be of more impact and could also affect the smoking rates. We have been working very closely with the chambers, with the deputy and senate representatives. We had two symposia in the chambers to convince them about the law. We did numerous workshops in support of the law. We had international experts like Jonathan Samet. We have the Mexico City Health Commissioner, Manuel Mondragon, ICALB, who was actually supporting the law at the Mexico City. We have Hector Ramirez Barba, who was the head of the Health Commission within the deputies, researchers, and people from myself, people from the Ministry of Health, all about supporting, even though we are from different parties, supporting the laws at different times. We run different interviews in the papers with the Minister of Health, supporting clearly and openly the health initiative and the law. And we also participate with NGOs. NGOs are extremely important for this, and thanks to the Bloomberg Foundation, many of these NGOs received funding and were able to help us in the activities. This is part of the campaigns that we put out, the anti-tobacco campaign. Here you can see there is the smoky part of the restaurants coming out, and every restaurant had this in place in Mexico City. And this is the phrase of Manuel Mondragon, who was the health commissioner at that time. It was possible because it was necessary. The E for empower, enforce bans on tobacco advertising and promotion and sponsorship. This is very difficult because of the different rights that legal products have, and this is, I think, one of the holes that we still have to fix in Mexico. $10 billion are spent each year to promote tobacco. Bans are effective, but only if they are comprehensive and if they are heavily enforced, and I'll show you why in Mexico this has not been the case. Enforcement is essential. This is one of the leading newspapers. This is the report for the World Cup, and you can see in the bottom line the advertisement for Boots cigarettes, and this is a page that almost all young people in Mexico will read. This is forbidden, but the tobacco companies prefer to pay the fines and to continue report. This is a local newspaper, El Universal, also showing that teenagers receive vouchers to exchange for free cigarettes and advertisement for cigarettes when you are 18 years old. So every boy that turns 18 receives a letter from the company saying now you're older to decide and you can do it. So. Raising taxes. This is one of the most powerful arms we have for to decrease tobacco consumption, especially among the young people and the poor. And taxes must keep pace with the inflation and increasing consumer spending power. Tobacco taxes are generally well accepted, and higher taxes increase revenues. They'll help to pay for tobacco control and for other social programs. Mexico has tried to increase taxes for a long, long time, and every time we fail. And here you can see this cartoon where there is a Marlboro man putting some food to the legislator, which is portrayed as a donkey, and there was a big scandal about how openly this happened in the last administration. That declaration or bringing forward this problem helped us this time, and we were successful in passing the legislation and the taxes. The relationship between price and tobacco consumption in Mexico also helped us to achieve this. As you can see in the blue line, the price has been increasing, and then it was dramatically reduced. This was a tax cut done by the government. And then from then, which is 1986, we see a steadily increase in cigarette price, and we see a smaller impact, but decreasing relationship with consumption. we're saying. So this has been also very useful information. Okay. What's the impact of taxes? Well, we had a small increase between 2000 and 2006 of 10%. And we can see that the price of cigarettes or the expended self-report price increased from 21 to almost 24, from 20 to 22 for national, and from 17 to 19 for national brands. And we see this is a cohort of smokers that we are following. We see that the decreased number of cigarettes per day followed by the increase in price. So this data also helps legislators to take decisions because we can push them and we can say that with local data, taxes are good for public health. And on the other hand, they don't affect the total amount of revenues for the state because they still get more money in the short term. So let me show, get into the politics of how we did this change in Mexico. We have just as a small idea of what's the Mexican political system. We have a presidency which has no vice president, is directly elected for 6 years, no re-election. So the president has no incentive for being re-elected. It has extensive authority. And its cabinet is structured. And then as powers, we have a bicameral Congress, an upper chamber, which is the Senate, with 128 members, and the lower chamber, which has a total of 500 members, 300 members for single-member districts, and 200 that are only elected through proportional representation. Now, this, why do I show you this? Well, it's very difficult, and this is a problem in many countries, because we have to work at least with 500 deputies to convince them that this is very important, and 128 members of the Senate in order to pass a law. And this also opens a lot of possibilities for the tobacco companies. The two chambers have, among their mandates, have to pass laws and to impose taxes, so it's very difficult. So we had three parties, PRI, who has been the party in power in Mexico for 70 years, and then starting 2000 we came as a democratic state, had not a major role and expressed concerns regarding agriculture, workers, and workers within the tobacco industry. Then we have Partido Acción Nacional, who promoted the legislation at federal level. This is a right-wing party. And then we have the PRD, which is a left-wing party who promoted the legislation within Mexico City. And I think that was the secret to success, because we have, without a voluntary agreement, we have the left and the right parties, which had the majority aligned with the same decision in public health, and that's how it passes. How does it work? The Minister of Health put the initiative to the legislative, which is the deputies. This goes and gets discussion within the Health Commission. The Health Commission gives a vote, and if it's approved, then it goes to the plenary. If it doesn't approve, then it's discarded. Most of the previous initiatives were discarded in the Health Commission. This time, we passed for the plenary, and the plenary obtained a vote of majority, and then it went to the Senate. The Senate also worked heavily with the Senate. The Senate bring it to the plenary. We held an open election so that we knew who was voting against or in favor, and then from the plenary, if it's rejected, then it goes back to the Health Commission. Any change, a comma or anything that gets changed in the plenary, reinitiates against the process. So, but we were able to pass it through the plenary, then went to the president, and the president is also subject of many influence of powerful industrials, as I mentioned, but the president also signed the law, and now we have our law. I show you this also because this is a very complicated pathway where The cigarette companies can go even with the Health Commission. The plenary, they can convince the economic group of the plenary to say, no, this is going to have a higher cost or this is going to be bad for employment, and then it goes back some. But we eventually have it gone. Now, the Mexico City legislation was not a big problem because the PRD, which is the party in power, has the majority. They don't need an alliance for votes, so the law just went through as it came, and it was enacted on February 26. This helped us very much because when we went to the plenaries, PRD could not block the initiative of the other party because they were working with Mexico City at the same time. So we were able to do the argument that they couldn't have a different public health concern for people living in Mexico City or people living within the whole country, and eventually we won the number of votes. So what is the federal law? The federal law has three important things: packing and labeling of tobacco products that really make explicit the use of pictograms. Tobacco advertising and promotion and sponsorship is forbidden. And here we have a small hole. Somebody would say it's a big hole, but for where we were, we think it's a small hole, but we are working to recover it, which is that tobacco advertising is still allowed in the magazines which are directed to people who are 18 and over. We also have important things about illicit. Well, we have the protection from exposure for secondhand, so all the enclosed spaces will be free of tobacco smoke. We have illicit trade and participation, and we have also very good sanctions and fines that will be provided. What are we facing right now? Well, we face a resistance from the intellectuals in Mexico. Many key opinion leaders, key figures reacted badly against the law, and they were recovering something that nobody knows, but it's called the smoker right to smoke. And it was very difficult, and they call it for disobedience of the law. Eventually, this came through, and we didn't experience big problems. The restaurant and bar owners were convinced of major losses were coming, and this is mainly the work of the industry, and it's very important, if you are doing this, to have a monitoring system of the impact on business to be able to show that there's no impact that's happened in many places in the world. Here, we, with the help of the Pan American Health Organization, we were able to convey legislators and also restaurant owners from Uruguay who had been passing the similar law. And to have this chance to talk with equal to equal, I think, was very, very helpful. Right now, we are battling about the spaces that could be allowed for smoking. What is an open space, a terrace or a patio, where people will be allowed to smoke. And this is one of the key points right now that is stopping the publication of the final ordinance. As I mentioned, the 18 and older hole in the publicity and advertising. The law doesn't address the issue of price and tax, and that, so then we still have to work on that area. And we are hoping to consolidate our tobacco control office very, very soon. Is the law popular? The law is very, very, very popular, as you can see, in favor. 68% of smokers were in favor. 93% of non-smokers were in favor. 93% of non-smokers are in favor. In total, 82% of people are in favor of the law. And that's also very helpful in terms of passing the law and putting pressure into the legislators. The Minister of Health has come out very openly in favor of the law, and this is what we are facing in Mexico. We didn't have this terrace sitting as they have here in Europe, and we are learning how to monitor. So Mexico, I think, as a conclusion, Mexico is now on track to achieve an effective tobacco control policy, and I think over the years we have been following the Empower structure, and it's good now that it has been put in place as with a theoretical background. We do recommend the Empower Forte because we need to fund tobacco control activities. It's very difficult in all the countries to find funding for tobacco control activities. It's not as a list of priorities of many of the governments. Globally, we know that tax revenues are 500 times higher than what is invested in tobacco. And here I want to express Mexico's gratitude to the Bloomberg Initiative to reduce tobacco use. The Bloomberg funds came very timely and were really key to do the lobbying and to help the NGOs to do all the work to pass legislation. We need to keep working. We still are many, many countries who have not yet benefit from these proof policies to reduce tobacco use. We see that we are at the most 5% of the countries have implemented free environment or cessation programs of health warnings or advertising bans. So the amount of work that we need to continue doing is very large. And I want to close just with the phrase of Dr. Chan to call all the governments around the world to urge action and to implement the policies outlined in the Empower package. And however, I want to stress that it has to be an Empower Forte with funding, because otherwise it's very difficult to do. So thank you very much for your attention.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Hernandez, for that wonderful, I think, inspiring and informative presentation. We did start a little bit late, and even though it's 9:25 past, we'd like to leave some time, I think, for questions from the floor. I'm sure there'll be interesting questions given the depth of this experience. I would ask people to come to the microphone, please, when they're asking questions, and just to very briefly state their name and the organization that they're from. Thank you. So please, the floor is now open for questions. Okay, Dr. Soni, please.
Thank you for the very informative lecture. Do you have any special programs in this Empower for the deprived populations, the marginalized, and prisoners? And you mentioned the QUIT program. Do you have any details on your QUIT program? For instance, the percent of QUIT against relapsed, or you are just starting, so these programs are not still in place?
Well, the smoking in Mexico is in the private areas is very, very low. We have until 2005 subsidized cigarettes for these areas, which were at least one-fifth the price as a regular tobacco products, but that has been changed, so that subsidy has been gone, and since then we've seen a major decrease in the smoking prevalence in among the poor in Mexico. Prisoners, I don't know. We have nothing about to say about that. We don't have any program for non-smoking in prisons. And the quit rates, I don't have it with me. We have a 1-800 quit line, and we have clinics. We have more than 250 clinics all over Mexico who are working on cessation. And we, as I said, right now, cessation is not covered by the social insurance, and so we are working in changing the interventions, the list of interventions of social insurance, to be able to include cessation as a treatment. Right now, the only thing that people get for free is counseling, so we are hoping to change that by 2009.
Steve Nolan from the American Lung Association. Doctor, could you clarify what the price per pack of cigarettes is in Mexico, or the average price?
The average price is more or less 17 pesos, which will be around 160 U.S., more or less.
Thank you.
Other questions? If not, then perhaps I'll just do a very brief summary of the session. I think it has been really inspiring to listen to how much change has happened in such a short time in Mexico, and the amount of leadership, I think the leadership that has gone into that. Also, I think interesting as we look at the challenges of implementing the FCTC in other countries to think what the Empower package has to offer. We very much, I think, also recognize that support for implementation of programs is a very important element. I think that as we move forward, and I would really like to know Dr. Hernandez's viewpoint on this, as we move forward, do you think, Dr. Hernandez, that there will also be opportunities to embed tobacco control in the public health budgets of countries, in the health agenda in countries, with the funding more sustainable?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer. I mean, the problem is that tobacco control doesn't appear as a priority in many countries. I mean, it's seen as something that is there, and it's hard to budget. To tell you, for example, in Mexico, we are facing a war against drugs, against illegal drugs. We are investing large amounts of sums to try to control a problem which is even less important than tobacco, and it's hard to bring this in the agenda. Now, with the new administration, I think we have a better understanding of the problem with Dr. Cordova, and we hope to see in the following years more budget, and especially the enact to create the Office for Tobacco Control. That's a very important step because then we will guarantee the funding for many years.
Thank you very much. Any last remarks from the audience? If not, then it just remains to me to again thank Dr. Hernandez for a wonderful presentation and to thank my co-chair, Dr. Bakshi, for his participation today. Thank you all.
Thank you very much.